You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Las Blancas Podcast. I'm your host Yash Thakur and we are back with another episode. This will be sort of a different pod because we will be touching upon points from two derbies against the same opponent, Atletico Madrid, and we all know how games against Atletico Madrid usually go. But these two games were different. We did not manage to win any of them. One of them resulted in us getting knocked out of the Copa de la Reina. But still, this week of football in the league was quite eventful and we'll discuss all of that. We'll break it down for you. We have some interesting things to discuss as well. And to do all of that, as always, I've got Kanita with me. Kanita, how are you doing, especially after that result and that game? Quite a happening.
How can I feel after this game? You said like it's not usual, like it's not your usual game that we, you know, it's different ones from usual, and that we lost, that we didn't win either of these derbies. But like we haven't won single Madrid derby like in the last four times we faced them. So you know, Madrid derbies, that's our usual thing, to just not, you know, not have a fun game. So yeah, I mean, after the second match, I don't know, I came here with no expectations, especially after Copa de la Reina. You know, this game was a teeny bit better, still quite not there yet, you know, so I don't know how I feel, honestly, just meh. Yeah, let's say meh.
Yeah, that Copa de la Reina elimination probably was a stinger because, you know, that was the only cup competition we could have made a deep run in. And in the league, it's always difficult to compete with Barcelona, who barely drop a point. By the way, it dropped a point this weekend for the first time in like 70 odd home games in the league. Like, When I read that, I was like, this is absolutely nuts. Like, we haven't seen a team like that. Like, imagine not dropping a point in the league at home for like 4 years. Like, that's crazy. But yeah, even if they dropped, that was their first drop point in the entire season. So it's very difficult to compete with them. So league is obviously out of the question before it even begins. But cup competitions are something that we could have made a deep run in. Did not happen. And, you know, despite us not winning this game was pretty fun to watch, even as a neutral, I would say. I think we have found a working formula, at least with the injuries, and at least in the attack, we have found a combination that works for us at the moment. And I think we have seen that in the last two games, especially. But I think that there are still some issues, like you mentioned, that we will be getting into and we'll be talking about. So let's begin by our usual way. Let's begin by looking at the lineup of this derby. So we had Misa in goal, a back four of Oihane, Susa, Ivana, and Olga, with a midfield double pivot of Toletti and Zornosa, and a front four of Athenea, Moller, Linda Caicedo, along with Brun leading the line. So initially, when I saw the lineup, okay, I love the front four. I enjoyed what I saw against Betis in the previous game. And I was very happy to see that consistency in the front four. I was like, okay, great, this is working, and we are going to, try to keep that consistency. Then I took a step back and I looked at the midfield, and Toletti was constant. In the previous game, we had gone with Maite in midfield to partner Toletti. In this game, we have gone with Zornosa to partner her up. And that has sort of been the theme of what we are trying to do, because in the previous derby as well, it was Zornosa and Fel and Toletti, and then it was Maite and Toletti, then again it was Zornosa and Toletti. And my issue with all of this is, just find a working formula and basically try to apply it to a good degree. And I think, with Tere not being there, Tere not being an option at the moment, that is a struggle, because I think we would have done much better with Tere and Toletti midfield, because we have always spoken about that. But apart from that, not many issues. I think the back four, maybe probably that Rocio has just returned from an injury, so we don't want to push her to play 90s back to back. But it was I cannot complain much about this. I was like, okay, whatever at the moment. Defensively, playing either combination has not really worked out this season, so I was like, okay, let's give this a shot again. And yeah, I mean, apart from that, no, not real many complaints from the lineup. I was pretty happy to see Muller and Brun together again, because like we discussed in the previous pod as well, like it's working. It's working really, really well, and I think that should we should stay with what is working. Don't break it if it's not bro don't change it if it's not broken, right? So I don't have many complaints with the lineup. But yeah, I mean, midfield is something that has always been our, pick and choose sort of thing that has happened from game to game, and I think there should be a consistency about that. So yeah, what were your initial thoughts when you looked at the lineup?
Well, I was obviously excited for the front four, as you mentioned, and well, since Tere wasn't available for either of the two games, she got a injury in, I don't know how it's pronounced. It's psoas, PSOAS. Yeah, it's a muscle. So yeah, she hasn't been available for like three games now, I think. And yeah, I think the lineup in the second game, yeah, I liked it more, basically what I wanted to say, because yeah, it's just better. It's kind of connects like Sonosa and Toletti were like alone, the lone midfielders in the first game, in the first derby, and that really bothered me. That double pivot duo is the only one like in the midfield, and then you have this whole thing in the attack where Linda was playing sort of as a Tannen. Yeah, and then you had Feller, Atenea, and more in attack. But the second one was kind of, for me, was more, logical. We talked about when we talked about the Valencia and Betis game, we talked how Muller's position, like just behind the second striker on the pitch, is where she operates the best. And this like incorporation of putting Muller there, to act as a 10 there, and putting Linda and Atenea on, the wings as they should be there, and Bruyne attack. I think that was like ideal, and I don't really have any I don't have any complaints about the second match about this. I mean, yeah, Tere wasn't available, so it couldn't be done. And yeah, I would maybe put Rocio there. She maybe wasn't fit. She played against Betis. And but yeah, I mean, not really something to complain about. Other than that, yeah, I mean, Svava for all guys was also that one change, obviously. A big one too, because Svava then, like, I think that was her second match back from her injury. And yeah, she was really shaky, and we were like, our left side was left exposed, and not even to talk about like the way that Sveva should be played, and not on the left back. So yeah. So yeah, these are some changes that for me make this like an ideal lineup from what we could have done here. But it's not everything in the lineup. It's also a little bit tactics, but yeah, so you can see in the result, neither one went well. So yeah, but for the lineup, that's it, I think.
And I think it was a pretty fairly even match, and I think the score line was also just they did have some chances, but I feel like even if you look at the underlines, even if you look at the game, after it got 1-1 pretty quickly in the first half, towards the final 20-25 minutes, it always felt like it could go either way. Like I was sitting there watching the game, and I was like, okay, this has to end with some team winning by a really weird goal really late. That is what I was feeling while watching the game, because it turned into so much back and forth towards the end that I feel like both teams had their chances to take this away, but none of them managed to do that. So anyway, we are getting ahead of ourselves. Let's just go through Atletico's lineup as well once, because they have a quality forward line, a forward line that actually really troubled us in the Copa de la Reina tie. I think in this game they did cause us trouble, obviously, but I feel like it was a little muted than what we faced in the Copa de la Reina. As always, like, Ludmila is always a problem for us. Ajibade is great. Sheila has been in great form. Eva Navarro is a differential as well. And Wildeboer Rissa has been a really good asset for them ever since she has joined them, and has been really stable. I think she won the Player of the Month as well for the last month. So yeah, I mean, it's a good squad. They are also doing well in the league as well. So it's always a tricky fixture coming against such a side. But yeah, I think let's begin by talking about the first big event that happened inside 6 minutes. And that was us conceding the goal. So we conceded the first goal, and it was scored by Sheila, who has been really, really, really good, I think, this season. She's in the goal charts as well. She's the top goal scorer for Atleti, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, but I think that goal conceded highlighted the biggest thing that Real Madrid has been struggling with since ages, which was set piece defending. The goal came from a corner after a really bad mess up in the box. Aren't you tired of watching this, Kanita? Like this same thing get repeated over and over, game after game, every corner after every corner. It's just really frustrating because you look at that goal and you feel like, what are we even trying to do in that 6 yard box? Like everybody looks clueless, absolutely clueless. I don't know about you, but that's how I felt because Misa is going to clear the ball with a punch, doesn't connect well. Then there's two, three players in the 6 yard box, none of them go for the ball to clear it. I don't know what was going on in the box at that time, but it's a theme that we have seen time and time again, and it keeps repeating itself. So I don't know, aren't you tired is my question, like.
Obviously I'm tired. We have to keep talking about it. So yeah, it is very frustrating how these set pieces just continue to be our biggest weakness at this point, I think. Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw like the ball arrive into the box and Misa punched it, I saw there was so much commotion like inside the box and was looking really bad. And like just before the shot, I was like thinking, yeah, someone will get this in. And well, Shayla got it in, so there's that. Yeah, well, what's very interesting that it was like one Real Madrid player, one Real Madrid marking two Atletico players in the box. I think it was supposed to be like Oyana marking Ludmila, and I don't know, Sheila was right behind her. It wasn't like she was directly marking her. And then there was Olga with, I don't know, Acıbadem and someone else like in front of her. And it's like Oyana was like marking right in front of the goal, and she was marking one player. However, Sheila was just behind her, and I don't know why would we let that happen. Like it was just this maybe like third quarter of the like a farther part of our goal just exposed there with Atletico players, being unmarked there around that exact spot. And while everyone is like moved to the near post. So yeah, I mean, you could see that coming from a mile away, honestly. It's predictable at this point. When we can concede from a corner. So in like corner like this where everyone is just lost, either it ends up in a goal or the opponent misses it somehow. So yeah, this time they did not miss. So yeah, there's that. But yeah, definitely tired of it. I mean, I don't even know what to say to this. It's just nothing new. There's been nothing new since well, forever basically. So yeah, not such great times, dude. Not such great times.
Yeah, so the game was off to a bad start, but it felt like we definitely did have we will get back in the game because it was a very early goal, and conceding early and scoring early has two different impacts on us. But I think we did well in the first half. We quickly equalized. Like it did not take us long. There were two goals in this game in the opening 22 minutes. And we quickly came back with a penalty from Olga. I'll take your thoughts on it first because when I was watching it live, I was a bit confused when the referee called that, because she pointed it to she raised her hand for some reason and I thought it was for Toletti being offside, and then later on I understood that it was for a penalty, which at first I had no idea what the penalty was given for. But yeah, on the replays you could see something. But yeah, what did you think? about that call? Do you think that was legit? Because every murder derby that we have played so far, every single one of them comes with a controversial penalty call. I don't know how it happens, but it just has to happen. A murder derby is incomplete without a controversial referee call, I guess. And yeah, there was this, and there's another as well, which we will touch upon. But yeah, did you think that it was a rightly called penalty?
Yeah, I think this is like a universal experience for everyone that watched this game, is that we were all confused, like what was happening in that call. Because I swear everyone who I have seen talking about this, it thought it was for offside initially, and then was just left, shocked when they saw Olga ready to shoot a penalty. And until they showed Olga ready to shoot a penalty, I did not know there was, a penalty call. And I don't know, it was so weird. I saw the ref raise the hand for offside as well. I don't understand what happened there. But yeah, for the call, and there was in the pass that Toletti made. So that pass like back to Atenea, in that trajectory, someone played, with her hand. It was a handball. I can't remember who. And it's not like it's that clear, like sure, it's like you have to, I haven't done it, but you have to like slow it down to really see it. It's a little bit tricky, but I don't know. I think it was a handball. I can't remember who. But yeah, I don't think that at this point anyone talks about that specific one like that much. I guess it was a good call. It's just that the memorable thing about this penalty was the fact that we had no idea it was a penalty. So yeah, and like Atenea scored just like maybe not even a second after the ref, whistled. And I think actually it was in the moment of her shot that she whistled, which is so weird, the ball was already on its way to the goal, and we received the penalty. I mean, sure, it's goes by the rules that if penalty gets whistled first, then yeah, it's like a break and that goal doesn't count, obviously. But it's such a weird timing, it's just the moment when Atenea shot the ball, it got whistled. So yeah, it's such a crazy thing. And yeah, I mean, you'd think that, oh, this is a great sign, like it's a great starting point to for remontada. And like you said, because of the early goal we conceded, there was, this hope we could turn the game around. And it was an interesting game. But yeah, about this penalty, yeah, a mess. And but her execution is, yeah, I mean, it's Olga's penalty. I'm not surprised. It's a great execution. And yeah, honestly, there was some choice where to put the ball. So it's just, she's crazy. I love when she takes penalties. I always feel a sense of security when Olga takes a penalty. So play.
Yeah, I mean, until she stepped up to take the penalty, I wasn't even sure, like you said. But yeah, even on the replays, it was very hard to make out whose hand it was hitting. It probably did hit a hand because there were some raised hands as the ball was put in, and oh, Athenea did have the ball in the back of the net there. And yeah, I mean, I think it was a penalty. On the replays, I cannot really make out whose hand it is because the replays are really bad. But yeah, so that happened inside the 20 minutes, and I think after that as well, we did manage to sort of like sustain a good amount of pressure, because even after the goal, we had three shots, wherein we did try to threaten. We had one-headed shot from Kathleen in the 29th minute, I think, which was a really good one. And yeah, we were getting our shots to be on target. We were trying to threaten, which I really liked. Like, we did not just score and we sat back, which we normally do. But I think it was a good thing. Like, Senior Brune as well, I think one of those headers from her, and that a left-footed shot towards the end of the first half as well, around 35th minute or something, was also really, really good. And I think that brings us to the next point, which has been my favorite part to watch in this game and the previous one, which is the combination of Senior Brune and Moller. Like, these are two players who are currently our joint top goal scorers in the league with 8 goals. And I think that is quite amazing, because you have two players who are technically competing for the same spot up until now, and then suddenly one gets injured and the other gets the opportunity, and she does so well that now she has become an undroppable part of the squad. So when the former player returns, you are trying to find a way to put them both together, and somehow when you put them both together, it works even well. So, there were sequences where Brune was dropping off. Brune was coming deep to receive and, sort of do that back to goal play of hers. And it was Moller who very promptly stepped up, and she was up there in the central areas trying to, receive the ball and try to turn it into a goal and be the target player. And I think Brune's presence really, really helps, because we do cross a lot. Everybody knows that we love to cross. We have a genuine target with Brune in the middle. Like, she can make half chances, like those crosses, turn into a decent effort at goal, or sometimes missing the goal by just a bit margin. Because in the second half there was this incident where, a cross came from the right, I think, and she got her head to it and it just missed the far post. Like, she's really good with her headers, and I think that gives us a really good target to, pick out in the box whether it's with Olga's crosses, whether it's with Zornosa's crosses from that side, or whether it's with Oihane's crosses, or Athenea putting the ball in. And the best thing about having Moller there is, if Brune is not able to put it away in the first time and the ball falls somewhere, Moller's movement and instincts as the second striker are so good that she'll pounce on it and she'll get the goal. Like, we saw that when she was playing without Brune, she was there in the box. Her instincts to get on the far post or get the final touch were really good, and that helped her score a lot of goals. And that is the best part. Like, these two work so well in tandem. Like, I'm a fan, and I would like to see this continue. Obviously, when Weir returns, and I mentioned this in the last game as well, that when Weir returns, this is probably not what we are going to see, but for the time being, I hope this continues. I hope this is not an experiment, and I think it is not an experiment anymore, because if you're starting it in a derby, I think you trust it as well, and for good reason, because we are seeing the results on the pitch. So yeah, I'll hand it over to you to take your thoughts on this combination. I know we discussed it in the last game as well, but in this particular game, I think it really flourished again. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it's great to see them in action, in a game like this, in a in a challenge, and we could really see, how well they were working. So yeah, I will just add a couple of points to what you already said. Well, one short one, there was this great chance by Brund. In the first half, yeah, it was sort of, yeah, it was a bicycle kick, and Lola barely caught it. It was going just under the crossbar. So yeah, I was so sad that got saved. Like, it was great. So yeah, I mean, Brune is back. Basically, I can say Brune is back, you know, mentally and physically now. So that's great. And yeah, with Mueller, Brune was also going to the sidelines again, which, you know, we've seen her do. Like in the last match, and she assisted Mueller, and you know, with that great cross, you know, from the left side. So basically, that's what she did a few times against Atletico as well. Just when we were really high up and we were weren't really, we couldn't really find the way to get the ball in. You know, as she would go a bit to the sidelines and go help there and try to do something on her own as well, which you know, just looking for any kind of solution, which I really liked. And you know, with Moller, you know, not when they're not really that high up in the attack, usually, you know, when it's about, you know, recovering the ball, Moller would come in handy, you know, there, either recovering it herself or really bothering the player who had the ball and, you know, letting her teammate get the time to run up to her and get that ball herself. And it's, you know, it's great. And I mean, we've known that the Müller is really like good at that and interceptions, but for a while we hadn't had the chance to see that from her, you know, until like, I don't know, a few weeks ago maybe, and you know, we weren't able to see that for months and months, maybe even not over a year. So yeah, I mean, this is great to see, and it makes our attack to like makes like this like new duo we have, it just gives a new freshness to our attack. It makes it that much more enjoyable to watch. You know, you said like, it's always fun to see what Linda has to offer, you know, when you see her starting, and you know, it's always been Linda there, but now we have this duo as well, and I'm really glad for like this attack is coming together, and yeah, great to see this in Madrid Derby as well. They were really stable here. It's, you know, you can see that it's not just like thing that happens in games like Betis, you know. So yeah, really good to see. This is a great sign. So yeah, I hope they get used like this more. And yeah, basically there's that.
And we basically have a thing to look forward to in games now in terms of our attack, and it's not just Linda. That is what is the most exciting part for me. But I mean, no discussion of a derby can finish without talking about a controversial call or a controversial decision. And I feel in this one, okay, that penalty one was a bit of a unclear call, but I think in the second half, Kathleen commits a foul, and I think that was a pretty bad foul. Like she literally elbows Sheila, I guess, and that was pretty bad. When I saw it first time, I was like, that is a red card. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't called. So yeah, I would like to take your thoughts on it, but to me, when I saw it first time, second time, it looked bad at every single replay. And yeah, what did you think of it, and do you think that should have been given as a red card?
Yeah, I don't think there is much more to add on that. I think it's pretty clear it was bad. It was clear foul, and it could easily be a red card as well. But you know, just there's no doubt it was bad. It had to be a penalty and at least a card, but you know, she didn't get it. So yeah, definitely wrong call there. Do not call anything. So yeah, but yeah, there were stuff that people were talking about as well. Like one of the other main things was like this penalty not given to Atletico, since you know, initially it looked like the ball hit Brun's arm after, well, it was after you know, going from her leg, and we just hit her leg and up. But in, like, if you put it to slow motion, it actually hit Ajibade's arm. They were like almost holding hands in the air there, so you can see that. So yeah, people were really pissed about that as well, like that could have been a penalty call too. But yeah, I mean, in real time it would have been given if the ref thought, like, but I don't think it was given because of that, you know, bouncing off the leg thing. That for me is not a penalty, even if it was Brun, but it wasn't who did the handball either. So yeah, but you know, that casting thing, for me, clear penalty, and like maybe 90% red card. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel the thing about Brun handball call was also, I agree with you. I'm with you on that. I think it came off the body and then onto the arms, and it also hit Ajibade in the process. So I'm not sure if that was as controversial as people are trying to make it to be, you know, because the narrative that referees do favor Real Madrid is a very popular one. And all I would like to say is that refereeing is bad in general. Sometimes you get calls that favor you, and other times you get calls that don't favor you. The reason it looks skewed is because there are a lot of eyes on big games that Madrid plays against Atletico, or it's against Barcelona. There are all eyes on that. And if something goes wrong in that game in Madrid's favor, then it's like, oh, there's this whole conspiracy. The only conspiracy that there is that the refereeing is really bad and it should improve. But yeah. So that happened, and I think apart from that, towards the end, then there was this whole chaos, like we mentioned, like it looked like the game can go either way. Both teams were pushing for it, both teams were looking for a win and looking for that final winning goal. It never came, but it was an entertaining final 20-25 minutes, and I think this was, in terms of how previous Madrid derbies have gone, I think this was one of the most enjoyable Madrid derbies, because either you are very stressed throughout the game in a Madrid derby because, you know, your team, like Real Madrid, is playing really bad and we somehow are just shithousing the game, or you're absolutely getting demolished like in the Copa de la Reina game. Like, we were getting cooked left, right and center in that game with our defense. So I think this one was one of the most a good performance in a derby that we don't often get to say. So I particularly enjoyed this game. And yeah, I mean, the other thing that we can talk about, and I think we should talk about, is another really, really good performance from Oihane, right? I mean, this player... We spoke about this, how with Oihane, when Issa was here as well, with Oihane, you always get this baseline of performance, which is really good, right? Anything else, you know, if she has a spectacular game, then that is an added bonus. But it's very rare for Oihane to play and have a really bad game, you know? Like, she always offers this really good baseline performance, which is better than most people's good game. So that is a great advantage. And I think she did really well in terms of defense and in terms of offense as well. A couple of her crosses were good, and she defended well too. So yeah, any particular notes you have about Oihana's performance?
Well, I mean, she did her standard performance, you know. She had like maybe like yeah, I'd say she had an off game in the Coppa Derby. But in this one, I think she did, you know, she was back to her you know, regular programming, you know. So yeah, I mean, she got the MVP, and I think it's very much deserved. There's nothing new that she did that she doesn't normally do. I mean, she did well under pressure when she was getting pressured very far back. She would handle it well with the pass back very calmly, and interceptions and everything. Basically, everything she usually does, her normal performances. She did it against Atletico this game as well. So yeah, basically no new notes on that. And yeah, just I think it's finally time for her to be nominated for the Player of the Month, because for she everyone has been talking about how she should have won the last two times, but she wasn't even nominated, so that was annoying people, you know. So maybe she gets nominated this time. I hope so, you know. So yeah, but definitely deserved MVP to her, and yeah.
I think there are some milestones that we need to talk about, and I think that would lead us into a bigger discussion, a general discussion that I would like to have. But before that, let's do a quick rundown of some post-match comments because they are always fun. So Olga went to give the post-match interview. She made some post-match comments, which I'll read here, and I quote, "We want to finish as high as possible. We have many options. We are going to continue working as we have been doing, and we want to consolidate that second place, which gives us the option of being there next year when it comes to Europe." So I think the squad has come to the realization that, you know, finishing in the second place, eyeing for the Champions League spot is now the only thing remaining in the season. And I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out because we are not in any of the competitions. And I think it's a good outlook because this was our last midweek game. We will just be playing one game per week, which also gives us a sort of puts us in a good position, so that we don't have to worry about midweek games and rotation. Now we can play our best 11 consistently until the end of the season. And I would like to see that. I would not like to see any more experiments or stuff like that, unless it's a forced change. I would like to see a consistent lineup which regularly performs. And yeah, finish the season as strong as possible. So I am with Olga on this. I would say let's finish as high as possible because, you know, the reason I mentioned this at the start of the pod that this was an interesting week is because Levante did manage to steal a point from Barcelona away. So at the moment, as the league stands, Levante are just 2 points behind us. So, you know, this is not done at all. Like, we could be thinking, oh, we will run away. No, that's not going to happen. We still have to face Barcelona. We have Levante as well. If I'm not mistaken, we have Levante as well. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be very tricky. Madrid CFF can cause us problems. We have seen we have lost to Sevilla this season. Athletic Club is a good side. So, you know, we do have some tricky away games as well. So you never know what can happen, and it is quite realistic that we might not win all the available points because we do have a run of games, I think in April, which goes where we are facing Levante, we are facing Madrid CFF, we are facing Atletico Madrid and Real Sociedad in sort of consecutive weeks with Levante Las Planas in between them. So it's going to be a tricky game. We are going to have to play Levante away, which is again a very tricky game. So there is plenty of opportunity for us to, drop points. And given how our defense is, we will have to be really, really sharp in attack. And the combination that we have right now needs to be given consistent time on the pitch to showcase what they can actually do. And I think that should be the aim, to establish this thing completely. And yeah, that is what I would definitely like to see, basically. So yeah, we will see how it comes, because now we will have an international break after facing against Granadilla in the next game. And after coming back, that's when the real thing begins, because you have to focus on finishing as high as possible, as you say. And that should be the aim, like consistent lineups and good performances. That should be the ultimate aim. So yeah. And speaking of milestones, let's get the minor one out of the way before getting into a big discussion. So it was Misa's 100th league game. All right. Now with that out of the way, it was the 100th game for Toril as our manager. So his record reads 68 wins, 8 draws, and 28 losses in those 100 games. And I'll pass it on to you, Kanita, to take your thoughts first. Now we have a sample of 100 games to, review what the manager has done. From his first game until now, do you see any tangible or notable tactical differences or tactical imprints of his side in the team? Like, can you make out anything that really gives you the impression that he has made a significant impact on the squad? Like, because at times this season we both have felt that we don't even know what our best 11 is. So, I want to get your thoughts on what you feel, because reaching 100 games with a club is a big thing in women's football, because there's a lot of turnover that keeps happening. So yeah, what do you make of his tenure so far, and do you think he has made any notable impact on the team from his first game till now?
So, I'm gonna start off with the short answer, and that is no, he has not. And the long answer would be, he came to fix the season like 2 seasons ago, to fix it in the middle of it, like in the beginning of the December. He got actually a lot of players back when he took over as a coach. And the fact that we managed to qualify, and that was literally in the last minute of the last league game. I remember us waiting for the other for the Atletico game of the last match day to finish, to be sure we're third. And that was a really really tricky season, really dramatic one. And at the end of that season, they gave him a renewal, that would last until the end of this one. And which is weird, because he already had a contract that lasted until the end of last year. And for me, that would be more reasonable to wait a little bit. He already had like a year and a half long contract. And then I was skeptical. I don't think anyone saw anything in his coaching abilities, like even in that first season. It's like basically he did what he had to do, right? It was like a new atmosphere in the changing room. Mostly, it's mostly what he did, bring a new thing to the changing room, and I don't know, uplift their spirits. And yeah, that's how we managed top three there. But I was willing to see what he had to offer the next season, and then No, last that was last season. We got weird, and you know, we talked about last season how we didn't really play much, but we got a lot of wins. Like most games were wins, and we qualified very easily, you know, very comfortably, and everything. But it was mostly because of individual performances, and there was nothing like football wise. And but we still keep talking about how he just keeps burying these little things that the team finds themselves comfortable in, you know, like I will never get over that, you know, short corner thing they used to do, and they never did again. And like a few weeks ago, they did the same thing and scored from that. And you know, that's never happening again. We can see now. So yeah, like the combinations of players, like the players that work well, he buries them. He makes players play in a completely uncomfortable position, illogical, and it's still the case for some players. And that's why I keep saying I hope this Bruno Maher duo lasts, because he tends to just like split these duos that work well, like whichever part, you know, of the field, especially in attack. Like he just decides to bury those little combinations which work really well. So that's why I really hope, you know, this stays this way for a while, because you know, I'm just scared of this happening again. And yeah, I mean, after just that immense bottle job in the final of Copa della Reina, I think there's definitely not been much like at all since then. We've seen how capable he is of messing things up. It was 95% his fault at final for because of his decisions, his substitution choices, and when to do that, and you know, game management is just very bad. And I don't think he's willing to learn about it. You know, somehow sometimes he gets the subs right, like he did a few times this season. Right now I can't name them, you know, that's how important those were, that I can name them right now. And I actually remember a lot of things, random things. So there's that. You can't name them all, so can't name any of them. So yeah, there's how important those were. And you can really see how his whole thing, you know, I can't say idea, because I don't think he has any ideas of, you know, how to play, how to manage this team. But just the whole thing fell apart when Weir got injured, and since then we played absolutely nothing. And to this day, you can just see individual performances, you know, getting us out of the rut, and a couple of good like team performances here and there. Now this one was pretty solid, like you said, like weirdly, but we had the derby, you know, a week before that as well, so it was like a warm up. Sadly, it was a warm up, you know, with the elimination stage from from the last competition we could have won this year. But yeah, so yeah, I just don't see any kind of willingness to grow anymore. It just feels that we're in constant state of basically nothing. I don't know how else to say it. And he isn't willing to learn. He was never willing to learn since he came. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happens. I mean, we discussed these rumors about him staying, and that he could also stay as the sporting manager, which for me is even worse. For him to lead this section is, yeah, not good. But yeah, I'm not Real Madrid management. I don't know what they're thinking. So. Yeah, 100 games for me, it was like 80 too much. You know, I can thank him for the first season for saving that one, but basically he's done nothing else. So, yeah, there's that. You can take over, because this rant actually turned out much longer than I thought. So yeah, just take it over.
I'm gonna keep it short as well. Like I feel like we have gone over this so many times that it's just become repetitive even to the listeners and even to us. I would say there hasn't been any significant tactical impact on the side. In fact, I don't know if we have made any progress either. In terms of player development, because these are the few things that you judge a manager by, right? Like if they have done good with the player development, if they have done good with the having a tactical impact on the side, or developing a style of play, or stuff like that, or they have won something, right? So we haven't won anything. That's out of the question. Tactical impact, I don't know. Player development, I'm not too sure either. Like, if you would ask me if I can name a player who at the is much much better, much much improved than at the start of his tenure, I probably wouldn't say anyone. Lately Muller has had a resurgence, but I think that is more down to Bruyne's injury forcing us to play her consistently, because she had no consistency whatsoever in the last 2 seasons. And yeah, I mean that just tells you how lost you feel when you're trying to name some of these things. Like there haven't been many, and I think there needs to be a change. I think we both think that there needs to be a change. Will there be a change though? I'm not sure, and that is the worrying part for me, because you see these other sides. Like today itself, the news broke that Bayern have went on and signed Lena Oberdorf for next season. A player, your opposition's probably top two players, they've gone there and they have signed her. Obviously Lena Oberdorf did have a preference to go there, but there was a release clause, and you know, we should have shown ambition there, trying to go for a player, at least show ambition. Yeah, we would get rejected, that is fine, but at least tell the fans that you're looking in the right direction. Yes, it we might have to do with landing some gems, unknown gems from time to time, but some of the decisions that we have made in terms of transfer market does not bring any sort of confidence in me that we are going to make progress or anything like that. And that is the most worrying part for me, because I don't have much to look forward to with this team. And that is a sad part, because this team is probably my favorite team. And you don't know, like, let's not look at other women's team. Like, look at your men's side. You have things to look forward to. You have, like, you sit there and you're like, oh, Endrick is going to join. We have an exciting forward coming in who will see how he adapts to the side and whatever, you know. But with women's side, we missed out on Bjorn. We went out and signed a player who hasn't played much football and has been injured. So that shows how much of a planning that is going behind the scenes with the women's side, right? And that is really sad. And I won't go and I won't get much into it and make this a rant. But yeah, I am pretty pretty disappointed with the way his tenure has gone and with the way we are planning to do things in the future as well. So yeah, that brings us to the end, because you know, two derbies, two quite different derbies, because in the first one we were nowhere, we deserved to lose that game. Now in this one, you know, It was a level game. I was happy that it ended 1-1. It's going to be a tough run in the league. We want to finish second, but it's not going to be easy because you have Levante breathing down your neck. You also have Atleti breathing down your neck. I wouldn't rule out Atleti, even though like they are 7 points, they're 8 points behind us. Madrid CFF are 7 points behind. I wouldn't rule them out because we still have to face them head to head. And if we lose any of those games, that just opens it up, right? And let's see what happens. We will be back with another pod for the weekend because that's what we are here for. And we will bring you all the insights. We'll discuss the game and we'll break it down for you. This will be the final game before the international break comes in. And yeah, it's at home to Tenerife, Granadilla, and let's see. Let's hope we finish this, like we end this part of the season with a win before we get into the international break for 2 weeks, and hopefully none of our players pick up any injuries and come back safe during the international break. And during the international break, we'll try to bring you a pod recapping the first international set of games. It's still unclear, but we will try to do that. We'll try to bring you one pod, at least bringing you the major updates from the international break to keep you guys posted on that. But yeah, until unless you have anything to add, Kanita, you can do so now, or we can wrap this up.
Nope, we can wrap it up.
All right, wrapping it up until next few days because we face them on the 18th, I think, Tenerife. So we'll be back with that pod. And yeah, so until next time, Ala Madrid.
Ala Madrid.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.